Thanks again for joining us today on Bridging the Gap. It's going to be our last show of the week. It's Friday, and hopefully we'll be back with some more exciting stuff with you next week. Today, we are joined by Search and Rescue Coordinator and Director Mike Sparks. And I'm sure you are aware of the search and rescue team we have here in Powell County. They're featured in the newspaper pretty often. They've been featured on our public information page, and they do some really tremendous work, especially for an entirely volunteer organization. Mike, can you just kind of tell us, how did search and rescue come to be?
Well, back in January 2013 is actually when the Powell County Search and Rescue started up in this community, with the affiliation with the physical court members, and the Judge Anderson actually helped us get started. We looked at the scenarios that we've been having in the county, and not very many personnel actually was able to respond to anything in the gorge or Natural Bridge. So we put the team together and went through emergency management, Kentucky Emergency Management, and requested that we start a team up. And we fall actually underneath the emergency management, Kentucky Emergency Management here in the county. And we have started the team. We've got 43 members now, and we're always looking for new members. Of course, like Corey said, we're all volunteer, and it's difficult to get volunteers out. And with so much life activities of vacations, schools, and kids going this and that with sports and things, we have limited number that actually comes out to the instance. So back in 2013, we was looking at a scenario of what instance we've had in the past, and we would have to call mutual aid from other counties to come in and take care of any incidents in the gorge or the Natural Bridge area. And we thought, well, we've got enough members here, or enough people here, that actually are interested in this search and rescue team. So we organized it and got it started. In July, we started getting some funding in, and was able to actually start getting equipment. We were able to get some money from the physical court. Actually, they had that was on an old account that they let us have to start buying some equipment with. Thank goodness for that. We ended up getting a trailer out of it, and to house all of our equipment that we have, ropes and different things in it. And over the years, we've accumulated quite a bit of equipment, and a lot of that is by fundraisings and donations also that we use. But, you know, as difficult times it is hard to actually get the members out, and we're always in need of those. We strive every day to do something to make the community better. And not only do we do search and rescue, we try to put back in the community by, you know, like a few times that we've actually sponsored some kids with cancer and, you know, different things of that nature. We try to take kids out on hiking, like we took the Desi Scott boys out one afternoon and actually took them out for a hike and in the gorge a while back. And, you know, we were always looking for something to do there. We're also talking about maybe starting a junior search and rescue team up to actually go through the schools and get the kids interested in it. Maybe, you know, we'll get their lives turned around before they get involved in something else. And, you know, things of that nature, Corey, that actually has got us promoted to actually get out and do something for our community.
Well, and I think it's good that you bring that up, because I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who don't know that, who know, of course, when you guys go into the gorge and pull someone out, or when something makes the news. But, you know, a lot of times we don't see what goes on behind the scenes and things that you do that do make a huge impact in the community. In fact, I can tell you from my time in dispatch, I think most people would be surprised to know exactly how many calls you actually do go on. A lot of them make the news, and a lot of them get a lot of attention, but a lot of them don't.
And, correct.
You know, roughly how many calls have you responded to even this year? Do you know off the top of your head?
We've got roughly about somewhere in the range of 15 to 20 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that varies from season to season. Of course,
sure.
Summer is the most busiest of all, of course.
And you guys have been recognized. I'm not sure if everybody saw it, but you guys were even on Good Morning America for some kind of harrowing rescue that you did up in the gorge. You know, tell us about that, and tell us about some of the more interesting, you know, kinds of calls you go on.
Well, back in, I think it was 2015, we actually had a guy that slept on the edge of a cliff, and actually he was by himself camping out, and one night we get a call that this guy had fell 60 to 100 feet off the cliff. Well, we get up there and rescue him and things of that nature, and then we get talking to him before he's transported to the hospital. Thank goodness he actually just had minor injuries. I think he had some broken ribs and maybe a broken leg or something like that. But he said he had been sleepwalking. And, you know, we put that on our Facebook and about his statement. And, you would think that it spread like wildfire. We've got news medias from all over the nation calling us, and Inside Edition. We even had the British radio station calling, asking for interviews about this. And even the guy that actually was involved in it, he got quite a few interviews. And it ran for a long time, for over a month there, about him sleepwalking in the gorge, of course. You know, automatically, you don't think if you sleepwalk, and you know you sleepwalk, don't
maybe
go camping out.
Maybe a cliff's not the best place to sleep.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it was really a lot of media attention to that story in the past.
Well, and it drove a lot of attention to you guys, and I'm sure that never hurts. I mean, when you're a volunteer organization and you're, you know, making it largely on donations, I'm sure any attention's good attention.
Right. And, you know, we even had an interview, Good Morning America, media personnel came up and actually interviewed us on the site up at the Red River Gorge. And, of course, it went across the nation.
Well, you know, most people, when they think of search and rescue, they're thinking of that kind of scenario. Someone's fallen in the gorge and you have to go get them out. But I know missing persons, and there are all kinds of situations where you guys are a really useful asset to the community. It's not just going into the gorge and pulling people out, right?
That's right. We've actually July the 4th at 3 a.m., you know, our dispatch called us and asked, is there any way you could go up and help this father and son out? And they had been camping out, and they were from northwest Kentucky. They were camping out, and a bear had got into their food, and they got startled and wanted to come out of there. So they packed up their camp and left. Well, their car, where they were camping, was about 15 miles away. Hmm. So I went up at 3 a.m. that morning, picked them up off of the Wolf County side, and took them to the car back down to Powell County side. And, you know, it was just things like that. We actually go in, and, you know, we go in, and sometimes when people will go in, they'll play on their phones, talk on their phones all day long, and then they go in the woods, and then they maybe use a user trail, and then they're no flashlights, and then all of a sudden they look at their phone and, oh, I've only got like 5% of battery left, and, you know, that battery's not going to do a flashlight and cell phone calls too. So they call 911, hey, we're lost, we need help. So we try to locate where they are. The dispatch gets good information from them, and we're able to conduct with the dispatch and their location and pretty much pinpoint where they're at, and we'll go in there and find them and walk them back out most of the time.
Now, I know from the dispatch side, the more tricky part of it is actually figuring out where the person is. You know, the Red River Gorge is a kind of a spider web of trails and access points, rocks, and landmarks. And, of course, it runs through more than just Powell County. You have Menifee and Wolf that play such a large part
there.
I know you guys work really well with the search and rescue teams in the area. I know a lot of joint rescues have gone on. But I think for the benefit of everyone, what are some things you would encourage people to be mindful of when they go into the gorge? In case, what's some good information to have on hand in case you do get turned around and lost, which is easy for anyone to do up there?
a lot of times, you know, it's good. You stop at a gas station, anywhere's up Slade, they've got these paper maps. You can actually find with the National Forest trails on them, and you take those in with you. Check your battery on your cell phone, make sure you've got plenty of service and plenty of battery. Flashlights, please don't wear flip-flops in the woods. There is plenty of snakes and stuff up there. We've had incidents with snakes where people's wearing sandals and flip-flops and things like that. If you're going hiking, prepare yourself for hiking. With the weather it is in the summertime, you never know, you might have a pop-up storm. Carry some attire that, you know, you can cover yourself up with if it starts raining, or, you know, the temperature changes quite a bit up there in the gorge. If you're down in the valley in between the cliffs, it's going to be cooler. You know, it's going to get dark. It is a lot darker up there in the woods than it is out in the city, of course. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't realize that till it's too late. And we've got all kinds of animals up there that seeks out in the nighttime. So be prepared for anything that comes up. And main thing is just prepare yourself. If you know where you're going on vacation, you usually prepare yourself for vacation, which is no different. Prepare yourself for a hike. Know what you need to wear. You can search online for many things to give you hints of what to take and what not to take. You know, be cautious. Be prepared.
And I'm sure things that maybe a lot of people don't think of, like reflectors and whistles and things like that, could be of use. I know you guys actually have given whistles out in the past.
Yeah, we started a new program. It's Whistle While You Walk. And what we do there is, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you've got a whistle will carry louder and longer than your voice. And sometimes your voice will give out, screaming out. But if you blow a whistle three times, we know you're in distress and you need help. That's how we can find you also. We can hear the whistle, we'll follow the sound, and come to you. If we have trouble finding you on our GPS coordinates, then we definitely will probably find you on the sound.
Well, and one thing that you also mentioned is charging your phone. And I know from dispatch standpoint, and our other counties, for the most part, can do this too. As long as you can keep that phone conversation open with a cell phone, we can track pretty close to where you are, and we can relay that to search and rescue. Of course, now that isn't always going to be the case. You know, you're in nature, you're going to lose signal. You know, signals are going to bounce wildly if there are multiple towers, but sometimes we can actually point to where you are on a map, and I'm sure that's extremely helpful. And also, I'd say, would you agree it's extremely helpful, and it sounds basic, but I think a lot of people forget, to actually know what trail you're on?
Yes, true. And if you've got a map, you know where you're at. And another thing is, if you know the parking lot where your car may be, let the dispatch know that also. Because if we know that your car is in that certain park lot, that would give us a point that we could put IC, Incident Command, where we will start. Actually, if you are lost, we'll start in that area and branch out. And like Corey says, we do sometimes, we call other counties in, Menifee and Wolf County are two main ones that actually helps us on search and rescue. And then we have Tri-Community from Lee County that actually helps us also on many incidents also.
Well, we're running out of time, but Mike, I know this is a really important service, and I know you need more volunteers than you have. Like you said, even if you have 100, yes, with everybody's day-to-day lives, you know, a rescue can come up at any time.
Yes.
One thing I will tell anyone out there who's listening and is interested in getting involved in this program, you can call the Powell County 911 Dispatch Center anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 663-4116, and leave a message with your name and contact information, and we'll get that to Mike, and we'll get you working towards being a member of the team. Mike, thanks for spending some time with us today. It's been really educational. I think I've learned a lot, and I hope everybody else has too. And hopefully everybody will stay safe in the gorge, and maybe we won't need you this summer. Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great. All right. But we're there if you need us.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Mike, and we'll see you guys on Monday.